This is a reading of a collection of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Education as a Force for Social Change. Lecture 3 given in Dornach, August 11th, 1919. My remarks today will be a kind of interlude. As I mentioned, I want to speak briefly about three concepts that, if people completely understood them, could give rise to an understanding of external social life. I expressly say external social life, since these three ideas derive entirely from human communal activity and work. These are the concepts of commodity, labor, and capital. I have previously mentioned that various shades of recent economic theory have attempted to clarify those concepts, but have failed. Since the time people began to think consciously about economics, clarity has not been possible. Before the beginning of the fifth post-Atlantean period, that is, before the period beginning in the middle of the 15th century, people could not consciously comprehend social relationships. Social relationships proceeded more or less unconsciously or instinctively. Since then, however, because this is the period for the development of the consciousness soul, people need to think more and more consciously about social relationships. For this reason, people have developed all kinds of ideas and viewpoints about society. First, there was the mercantilist school. Then came the physiocrats, Adam Smith, the various utopian streams, Proudhon, Fourier, and so forth, right up to the modern social democrats on the one side, and conventional economic theory on the other. It is interesting to compare social democratic theory, based upon the work of Marx, Engels, and others, with conventional economics. Conventional economic theory is totally unproductive. It contributes absolutely nothing in the way of concepts that people can integrate into social willing. If you ask what you should do for society, you will gain nothing from the twisted and chaotic concepts of conventional economics. The views of modern science completely dominate it. In spite of the admirable progress of the natural sciences, which spiritual science absolutely does not deny, conventional science rejects everything that arises out of the spirit. Economists want to observe only economic activity. Observation of the economy is almost impossible in modern times, because recent human development has rendered people increasingly incapable of having thoughts consistent with economic facts. Economic events proceed almost mechanically. People do not follow them with their thoughts. As a result, observations of these thoughtless events of the world market do not result in economic principles, because our economy is practical action without theory, viewpoint, concept, or idea. On the other hand, the social democratic movement is theory without practical application. Taken as it is, socialist theory can never be practically applied, because it is a theory with no insight into practicality. In modern times, we suffer because on the one hand we have economic life, a practice without ideas, and on the other we have only social democratic theories, with no possibility of practice. In this connection, we have truly arrived at a turning point in human historical development. Since the necessary foundation of society is the relationships between people, you will easily understand that a particular attitude must underlie people's goals when they want to create a socially just life. You can also see that the goal of the threefold social organism is to create a certain attitude toward the relationships existing within society. Without such an attitude between people, society cannot truly flourish. Social threefolding definitely takes this attitude into account. Today I would like to mention only a few anecdotal things in this regard. If you think of social life as an organism, then you must imagine that in a spiritual sense, something flows through this organism. just as blood carries the inhaled and transformed air through the human or animal organism, there must also be something that circulates and flows throughout society. We now come to an area that is so difficult for modern people to understand because they are so little prepared for it in their feelings. However, we need to understand it if we are to speak seriously about social renewal or the reconstruction of society. We need to understand that social life in the future depends upon cooperative support between people, something done when we exchange our ideas, perceptions, and feelings. Human viewpoints are of no little importance if people want to be social beings. The future requires that we base general education upon concepts that can serve as a foundation for imaginative thoughts, not just upon ideas taken from science or industry. As improbable as this may seem now, in the future we will be unable to properly interact socially if we do not teach people imaginative concepts. That is, if we do not teach concepts that affect human feeling much differently than the abstract, natural scientific concepts of cause and effect, force and material, and so forth. In the future, we will be unable to begin anything social with those scientific concepts that influence everything today, even art. In the future, we must learn to understand the world in pictures. I have often given an example of that in connection with education. I said that when we are actively involved with children, we can, for example, teach them the idea of the immortality of the soul simply by showing them a cocoon. You can let them see how it opens, how the butterfly flies out. We then explain to the children that the cocoon is like our body and that there is something like the butterfly living within it, only it is invisible. When we die, then the quote-unquote butterfly flies out into the spiritual world. We act pictorially through such analogies. However, we must do more than simply invent such analogies. If you merely invent such analogies, you would be acting with a conventional scientific attitude. What is the attitude of conventionally educated people when they create such an analogy? People today are terribly clever even before they are mature. They give no thought to the possibility of being wise in a way other than they imagine themselves to be with their abstract concepts. Today, people certainly have strange ideas about wisdom. A few weeks ago, a political science society held a meeting immediately after one of my lectures. At that meeting, a university professor spoke about my lecture and ideas connected with it. He is, of course, a wise man of the present. In his opinion, the views presented in the lecture and in all of my books were infantile, only childish. I can well understand how a wise man of the present could come to such a conclusion, particularly if he is a professor at the university. I can understand that because we have squeezed all truly pictorial life out of academic life, so that academics perceive everything understood, or perhaps I should say not understood, as childish. This is just what is so extraordinary about modern wisdom. If we want to use a picture, like the one I just presented about immortality with the butterfly flying out of the cocoon, they say, quote, "We are wise, and of course we know that it is only a picture. We are above such pictures. However, children are only children, and we need to create such pictures of our concepts for them, though we do not believe in them." Unquote. What they do not comprehend is that the children do not believe them either, because children become really engrossed in the picture only when you believe it yourself. Spiritual science brings us back to an attitude that not only lets us see those fantastic things spoken of by natural science, but also lets us again see the pictorial, the imaginative. The picture of the butterfly emerging from the cocoon is in truth a picture of the immortality of the soul, placed into nature by divine forces. There would not be a butterfly emerging from a cocoon if there were no immortal soul. a picture cannot exist and that is a picture if truth does not form the basis for it. It is the same throughout nature. What natural science provides is simply fantasy. We can understand nature only when we know it is a picture of something else. People will need to accustom themselves to seeing, for example, the human head as a picture of a heavenly body. The human head is not round just so it can resemble a cabbage. The head has its shape because it is fashioned after a heavenly body. All of nature is pictorial, and we need to find our way into this imagery. If we do, then what flows into us when we grasp pictures will radiate into our hearts, souls, feelings, even into our heads, although this is the most difficult. In the social organism, we will need to speak to one another pictorially. People will need to believe in these pictures. Then economists will emerge who can speak with truth about commodity within the social organism. Commodities reflect human needs. We cannot comprehend the social value of human needs through abstract concepts. We can comprehend it only through human feeling, permeated by an attitude arising from imaginative thinking. Otherwise, we will not achieve a human society. In the social organism, you could employ people to determine needs, but if you do not, at the same time, educate people to think imaginatively, you will never achieve an organic social structure. We must speak pictorially. As strange as it may sound to modern socialists, to create a humane society, people must speak in pictures that excite the imagination. That is what is important. People will understand commodity in a feeling manner only through an economics that understands pictures. In society, the society of the future, a proper understanding of labor must predominate. The way modern people speak about labor is ridiculous, because labor has essentially nothing to do with the production of commodities. Karl Marx called commodities crystallized labor. That is simply ridiculous. What we refer to as human labor is the particular way people use themselves up, consume themselves. You can consume yourself in one of several ways. You can, for example, if you have enough money in the bank or in your pocket, participate in sports and use your labor in sports. You could also chop wood or do something else. You could use exactly the same amount of labor chopping wood or participating in sports. Social life depends not upon the amount of labor you do, but upon the use of that labor. Labor has nothing to do with social life insofar as commodities are produced. In the threefold social organism, it will, therefore, be necessary to have a reason to work other than the production of commodities. We must, to a certain extent, produce commodities through work, because we must use work for something. However, the basic reason people work must lie in their desire to work and their love of work. We cannot achieve a humane society until we can bring it about that people work because they want to work and realize that work is necessary. That can occur only in a society where people speak of inspired concepts. In contrast to the past, when things were more instinctive and atavistic, in the future people will not glow with a desire and love for work if society is not permeated with ideas and feelings brought to the world through the inspiration of initiates. People must carry these concepts to become aware that they have before them a social organism to which they must dedicate themselves. That means that a desire to work will exist in people's souls because they understand the social organism. People will gain such understanding only when they are spoken to through inspired concepts, that is, through spiritual science. For a desire to work to arise, we need concepts from spiritual science that can permeate people's hearts and souls, not those empty concepts often spoken of today. Spiritual science will permeate people's hearts and souls so that they have a desire and love for work. Labor will take its proper place alongside commodity within a society that hears not only of pictures from teachers, but also of inspirations, and those concepts necessary in our complicated society to provide the means of production. That will give people the proper foundation upon which to build. Intuitive concepts must also spread in that society. You can find those concepts in my book titled Towards Social Renewal in the chapter about capital. They can blossom only in a society receptive to them. That means that capital can take its proper place in a social organism only when people admit they need intuition. Commodities will take their proper place when people admit they need imagination, and labor will take its proper place when people admit they need inspiration. If you do not write these three concepts under one another, but write them in the way I have done in this diagram, in a pie chart, and comprehend all three of those concepts, you can learn a great deal. There are interrelationships between labor and commodity, and between commodity and capital, to the extent that capital purchases commodities. Relationships exist between labor and capital and so forth, but you must connect those three concepts as I did in the diagram. We need to understand the truth of stating that a human attitude must permeate society in the future. People themselves must create society as they become accustomed to hearing about imagination, inspiration, and intuition from the science of initiation. That is a serious point. I am saying nothing less to you than that a future reformation of society cannot occur without spiritual science. And that is the truth. People will never be able to understand the necessity of intuition, imagination, and inspiration if you leave the schools to the state. What does the state do with schools? Think of something primarily connected to schools and the state. For example, public law. I must admit I find it terrible, but modern people do not notice it. Public law should arise out of those things people perceive in their souls as correct. Here, I only want to look at democracies and will not address the case of a monarchy. Public law arises through parliaments, which pass laws for the state. Every adult citizen is connected with public law through his or her representative. Things are decided and enter the body of public law. Then along comes a professor who has studied public law and teaches the laws passed by the parliaments as, of course, public law. Thus, the state pulls academia along behind it in this area. A professor of public law does not teach anything other than what exists as law in the state. We would not even need a professor if we were able to reproduce the laws on phonograph records. We could simply place a phonograph at the podium and allow it to play back the laws passed by the parliament. That is what academia has become. That is only an extreme case. You can see it is certainly nothing inspired, because you could hardly claim that what modern parliaments decide constitute inspired deeds. Things need to be reversed. At the universities, public law should be taught from a basis of human spiritual understanding. Only then can people give the state its proper form. Many people believe the idea of the threefold social organism would stand the world on its head. Perish the thought. The world is already standing on its head, and the threefold social organism would only put it back on its feet. That is what is important. It is important to find your way to an understanding of such concepts. Otherwise, we will go in the direction of a mechanization of the spirit, an anesthetizing or vegetation of the soul, and an animalization or instinctive form of the body. It is important to be convinced that we need to think in such a radical way if the future is to blossom healthily. We need to recognize the necessity of a social organism based upon three healthy realms. People will learn how imagination is connected to commodities only if economic life is clearly defined. And we recognize the need to administer economic life with fraternity. What inspiration means for labor, that it calls forth a desire and love for work, will exist in the world only when inspiration permeates the concept of equality in parliaments, so that equality truly prevails and individuals can validate what lies within themselves. However, that will be quite different for each person. Then equality will prevail in the rights realm. Laws will be inspired and not passed in the mundane fashion increasingly common to democracy. We can properly value capital in the social organism only when intuition rises to freedom and freedom blooms from the developing spiritual life. Then what work needs will flow to it from spiritual life. Streams will flow as my arrows indicate in the diagram, and the three areas of life will be so integrated that they properly permeate each other. In this connection, one of the first objections I encountered in Germany was that people said I wanted to divide social life into three parts, while social life needs to be unified. This kind of unification hypnotizes people because they have always viewed the state as all-encompassing. They are accustomed to the concepts of a bureaucratic state. Someone who says something about such unity seems to me to be like someone who says that I want some old nag to stand on 4 feet, but we must keep the old nag unified and cannot divide her into 4 legs. Of course, no one would expect that, but I am also not interested in putting the old nag, state, or the social organism upon only 1 leg. It must stand upon 3 healthy legs. Just as a horse does not lose its wholeness when it stands upon 4 legs, the social organism does not become disconnected when placed upon 3 sound legs. The social organism becomes a unity precisely because it is founded upon 3 sound realms. Modern people simply cannot break with their habitual concepts. Now, it is important that we do not believe we need simply to change external appearances, but that we recognize we must reform our ideas, concepts, and feelings. In a way, we could say we need new heads to work toward a truly healthy future for humanity. We really do need different heads on our shoulders. People have such difficulty getting used to new ideas because they love their old heads so much, those old heads so accustomed to thinking the way people have thought for so long. We need to consciously reform what now lives in our souls. Do not expect that to be an easy task. Many people believe they have already changed their concepts and do not notice that the old remain, particularly in the area of education. Strange things happen. You can talk to people about the pedagogical concepts arising from spiritual science. You talk with very progressive teachers, school directors, and so forth. Then, after they have listened, they say they have thought the same for a long time. They are of exactly the same opinion. In truth, though, their opinion is exactly the opposite of what you have said. They have exactly the opposite opinion, but they use the same words to express that contradictory opinion. Imagine it. They use the same words and say something with exactly the opposite meaning. That is how modern people pass one another by. Words have long lost their connection with spirituality, but we absolutely must find this connection again, otherwise we will not move forward. Social tasks lie much more in the realm of the soul than we usually think. The end of Lecture 3.